Other improvements included mills, windmills in northern Europe. Europeans became extremely good at clearing forests in the 9th and 11th century. We begin to get the process of known as assarting, that is clearing out wastelands, bringing it under cultivation. Again, landlords often gave their tenants generous terms to do so. So that by the year 1095, when the First Crusade has been preached, the economic recovery of Europe has been substantial. In food production, the congregation of populations into villages and towns across the heartland of Western Europe was one of the most important features in European society. Now, these changes in food production also were accompanied by other changes and also related and influenced these other changes. These included the simple fact that the demography of Western Europe recovered, and the agricultural improvements allowed this. The end of the Roman world, really in the 6th century A.D., there was the first of what are thought to be plagues that led to a demographic collapse. This is a plague that's reported in Byzantine sources and then later in Western sources from 542 to 543. And then there's a series of other plagues. These are cycles. They're known as pandemics, which ravaged the population and led to a demographic collapse. That is, so many people were killed. In some instances, this plague would wipe out half the population in a matter of months, that you couldn't reproduce fast enough and population contracted. And in the early Middle Ages, there had been a steady contraction of population, probably from the mid-6th century running into the early 8th century. And for numbers in Western Europe, this is speculative, but at least they give you some sense. The island of Britain, for instance, England and Wales, in the Roman age was 1 million. By 750, it may have been halved. The same is true in Gaul, which would have been halved from 6 to 3 million, and you can multiply examples. Actually, Germany in Central Europe fared pretty well because that was fairly underpopulated at the time these plagues hit. But it was clear that it had been a major drop. In addition, the political breakup of the Roman Empire had led to the disruption of trade routes, town life on the Rhineland and in Italy. In the 8th century, there were significant loss of populations by city in Italy. It's cities in Italy. This can be documented archaeologically. In some parts of southern and central Italy, as many as 75% of urban centers or town centers were abandoned at one point. So that this demographic collapse, which was related to the impact of these pandemics, was restored by the success of European agriculture, and starting probably at the opening of the 10th century, as these new methods were adopted, the new technologies come in, European population begins to rise. And by 1000, European populations had probably attained or exceeded late Roman levels. Not only was it important to stress that European populations were on the rise, these people were being fed. It wasn't as if you had enormous population that was, you know, starving. This is not to say that the population was not susceptible to disease, that its diet is very restricted and even horrendous by our notions of what is a nutritious diet. But nonetheless, that population had hit Roman levels and in some instances was getting us to the level of a population on par with parts of the Byzantine and Islamic world, especially in such areas as Italy. These changes in demographics and agriculture also had other major economic repercussions. And that led to a far more diversified economy than when we started out in the early Middle Ages. A number of associated activities with food production, such as mining, timber, and textiles, often done by the so-called putting out system, all of these rose in the 10th and 11th century in great amounts. This spawned a revival of regional trade, which eventually tied into the wider international trade that we see connecting Western Europe to the Mediterranean ports and then to the Near East and the Byzantine Empire.